everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, a program which has been half an hour of comedy airing every Friday afternoon, but is now becoming a program which is an hour of comedy airing every Sunday night. So I have the privilege of beginning and ending your weekend, if, of course, you are the sort of person that never turns his radio off. So I hope you will be following this program to Sunday nights at from 9 until 10, which is where we will be. And there was also something of an anomaly in the program guide, and it's not that mystifying. It's just that I screwed up. So you will see listed this week part one of two of a program of Bob and Ray material featuring my guest Phil Proctor. And then if you have already gotten next month's program guide, you will see no part two listed. And that's just because I forgot. So we'll be doing part two in, what's the month after the next one?
Let's see, July, August.
In August. So this is going to be sort of a half-hour teaser of what will be a full hour of wonderfully rare, delightful Bob and Ray material, which was brought by my guest, Phil Proctor. Hello, Philip.
Hi, and this is the Bob and Phil show. yeah, I just want to say, because it really, I've put together a collection of classic Bob and Ray stuff that I don't think many people have ever heard, recorded by me and my mother in New York City between 1955 and 1957, as Bob and Ray moved from one radio station to another during that time. And this is a collection that I put together for you, Bob, because I know when we talked about Bob and Ray, you said, well, you know, I'm not that much of a Bob and Ray fan.
My secret is out.
And that's all right. You know, we don't think everybody's funny, or we think people are funny to various degrees. But in this particular case, I think you and listeners who may not have been really turned on by what they've known of Bob and Ray in recent years, I think you'll understand what it was that made Bob and Ray so much fun to listen to, because you have to understand they were on the air live from like 6 in the morning till 9 every day, 5 days a week rather, 5 days a week, and were like the morning jocks for many of us who got up to go to school or to work or what have you. And what was so much fun about them was the spontaneity that they engendered in their audiences, in the people who came to listen to them in the radio studios. You can hear them laughing in the background. And my mom and I loved it when they broke one another up, or they broke people up. And they broke up the announcers, and they broke up the news people. They did terrible things to make them laugh. And I will reveal some of those secrets during the hour-long show. But this is a taste of what it is about Bob and Ray that endeared them to so many of us when we were living back in the glorious, naive days of the 50s.
Well, I must say, in just listening to the few little bits that we listened to before we got started here, what I always didn't like about Bob and Ray was the fact that it always sounded as if they were doing things that they had done hundreds of times before, and that they seemed tired of this stuff. Now, I know this may very well not have been true, but it just seemed as if they were just retreading old material, and in hearing these tapes, it sounds wonderfully fresh and alive, and I certainly enjoyed the little bit that I was able to hear. So now, with you out there, we will now listen to Philip and what was your mother's name?
Audrey.
Philip and Audrey Proctor's home tapes, live Bob and Ray stuff from radio in the 50s in New York.
Controversial Wally Ballou speaking directly from the floor of the Yonkers Auditorium. The glittering panorama of the New York used car show stretches out before me here. The junk dealers have their displays all along the south wall of the building. Wrecked cars are on exhibit over there, along with attractive displays of old carburetors and transmissions. But the chief interest is centered on the main aisle, where the used car dealers are trying to outdo each other in brilliance. We're standing now in front of one of the most attractive displays at the show, the one of Madman Mahoney, the working man's friend. Mr. Mahoney is beside me at the microphone. I wonder if you'd be good enough, sir, to tell us a little bit about the cars you're showing here.
I'd be very happy to, but I wish you'd just call me Madman. All my friends do.
All right. I think we might mention first that you have about 5 cars on display in your section of the main pavilion.
That's right. Now, the one with the shattered windshield over there is the 47 Nash. Then next to it there with the flat tires, a 48 Kaiser. Now, over on the other side is a 51 Ford with the side caved in there, and a 49 Studebaker Convert.
And, of course, the fifth car is the one up there in the spotlight that's turning very slowly on the revolving stage. The grill on that one is bashed in pretty badly, but that's a guess that it's a Chevy, isn't it?
That's right. That's a 46 Chevy with standard transmission. Non-power steering, manually operated windows. It's really the star of the show.
We might tell our listeners at home that this car is sort of a bilious green color with one dark blue door, and also it has one front fender missing.
Oh, well, I think the car was a little darker green originally.
Uh-huh.
You don't mind if I call you Mr. Ballou?
No, all my friends do.
Mr. Ballou. But the paint is wearing a little thin, and that's the metal you see showing through there.
Oh?
The blue door there on the driver's side apparently is a replacement for one that fell off.
I notice that one end of the front bumper is dragging on the ground there. I've seen quite a bit of that in other exhibits, too.
Well, the dragging bumper...
Can you explain that to us, why I've seen it?
Well, I'll tell you this. The dragging bumper is the latest thing in used cars for 57. We feel that it gives a certain, well, a casual appearance. And then, too, the sound of the... I'm sorry. I really am, sir.
That's all right. Go ahead, Madman.
The sound of the bumper dragging... tends to drown out all the body rattles, tavern noises, and that sort of thing.
Well, I hadn't realized that used cars change in style from one year to the next. I thought only the new cars did that.
Oh, no. For example, a lot of the new cars are featuring four headlights for 1957. In used cars, the trend is just in the opposite direction. All the models we have on display here have one headlight on.
Well, it's certainly been interesting to hear about all of this. Madman, I want to thank you for showing us around your exhibit.
Well, I certainly was glad to do it. and as long as you're here... Hey, would you like some?
Yeah, fine.
I'd like to point out that we're offering a long deal on a 51 Willys that we took in this morning. From some druggist someplace. Now, maybe you'd like to hop in and give her a test drive.
No, thanks. I'm not in the market for a used car
only
right now.
Only 82,000 actual miles on it. They say it was owned by an old lady who was a cab driver.
Well, no, really, I don't really want to buy it, Madman.
No money down, terms to fit your pocket.
This is Controversial Wally Ballou at the Yonkers Auditorium.
See the genuine tempered steel springs poking through the front seat there.
Sending it back to Bob and Ray in New York.
Well, hello there, boys and girls, and welcome once again to the Little People School. Now, the first thing we're going to do today is to go over and look at the pansies that we planted last week in our window box. Remember when we planted those pansies, little people? I wonder if they have peeked their heads out of the soil yet. Well, now that's an odd one. Are these the same window boxes we used on the show last week, Emil?
Yes, we always use the same window boxes on this show, Miss Adelaide.
Well, these certainly aren't pansies growing in here. This stuff looks like marijuana.
Yeah, I think that... That's what it was, all right, Miss Adelaide. I don't know how that happened.
Well, I don't know who it is around here that's using my window boxes for their own purposes. It's certainly going to have to stop. We only grow pansies on this show.
Well, we'll look into it, Miss Adelaide, but now why don't we move over to the animal corner?
Well, I guess we'll have to. I certainly can't stand here and tell the boys and girls all that stuff growing in my window box.
No, I suppose not. It's doing rather well, though. I think it'll be ready to pick in a week or so.
Well, that'll be enough of that. Would you ring the bell, please?
And here is our home economics director, the lovely lady of the Bob and Ray Experimental Kitchen, Mary Magoo.
Do you mind if I smoke?
I didn't know you did. First I've...
Well, it isn't me. It's just that the thing that I baked is still smoking a little as I brought it in the studio.
Well, what's our recipe for today? Do you have one?
Well, I have a recipe that I thought I'd like to pass along to all my friends listening today.
Fine.
Now, what I take, and I'd suggest you listen carefully, is one huge crock. Then I get some strawberries and I slice them in half.
You have the strawberries?
Well, after you have the strawberries, then you slice them.
I mean, you have them.
What?
You said you sliced them in half. You have them.
Of course I have them, Bob, and I know that this sounds like a pun, but I'm afraid you'll confuse the
average
listener.
You have the strawberries.
Yes, I have the strawberries. H-A-L-V-E.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Now I add a little sugar, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Now I let that kind of sit for a while until it works just a tiny bit, maybe for an hour or two.
I see.
Then I take some very dry New York State champagne.
Uh-oh.
Well, wait a minute. Mary, I'm afraid now that you're...
I have an idea that this is not...
I take about two magnums.
Look, but Mary,
two magnums.
This is...
Wait a minute, Bob. It's beginning to sound pretty good.
Well, it doesn't sound bad.
Now, I empty the contents of the two magnums in this huge crock and then stir it all up and squash the strawberries down with a mashed potato squasher.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put it in a refrigerator and let it chill.
I see.
And then you watch the little faces light up.
Well, I don't think this is the type of thing you would serve to little faces. You... sounds
don't
very delicious.
Don't tell them what it is. They'll be the happiest kids in the block.
All right, Mary.
Thank
come
you,
on.
Mary. Come on. Right. I think hereafter we've got to check over these things before she...
It's the first time I've ever known Mary to go way off base like that.
No, I guess it must be vacations or something.
Probably.
You have
See
word.
You around.
You have a word
well,
about...
She has really changed, you know.
When did she make that, this morning?
Yeah.
Here's appetizing news for New Yorkers. The peak of the season for fresh pears in New York right now. Fresh pears taste so good so many ways, you'll want to keep plenty of them on hand during the peak of the pear season. When your youngsters come home hungry, give them fresh pears for an after-school snack. They'll love the naturally sweet flavor of juicy pears. And pears give after the youngsters... the quick energy they need to keep on the go. Fresh pears make the perfect lunchbox fruit. They're a light, satisfying dessert after a sandwich lunch. You better pack two pears in every lunchbox. One for lunch. And another for a sweet snack. The next time you shop, buy pears.
Brad Phillips, our new shop steward. And the pear announcement.
So light up to pleasure with a really filtered smoke. Why not follow the example of millions who light up, puff, and you'll say, my, that's good coffee.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes? Oh, dear, you again. Yes?
I have an award for you, sir.
Oh, not again.
I represent the Women's Daily Radio and Television Weekly.
yes, yes.
It's a daily that's published.
All right, never
every
mind.
Thursday.
All right, there's no need to. There's no need. Well, what is it?
And we... I'm pleased to inform you that you've been elected the swellest news announcer in 1955.
Well, thank you very much.
We have...
Very nice of you.
We have our editor, Olivia Upjohn, on tape, who would like to...
That fool!
Olivia Upjohn. Well, go ahead.
She has taped this special message...
Oh, that fool. See? Olivia Upjohn. I shouldn't. Go ahead. Go
she
on.
She has taped this very message. Special message to you in this holiday season.
I see. Well, that's very nice.
Why don't you let me alone?
Why do you do
it? Oh, she's a fool.
You are. Oh.
Oh, my. Oh, I shouldn't. What? Oh, my. Oh, they should. What are you doing? Oh, my. Oh, I shouldn't. I have to leave. Oh, I
can't.
Why
do they? Two of the proudest members of another profession are here with us today after an absence of some several weeks, and I refer, of course, to Musicdom's McBeebe twins, Claude and Clyde, our old friends who are here in New York, I think, for about a week before hitting the road again. And Claude and Clyde, which one of you is going to speak first?
Well, I might as well speak first.
Okay, we're going to have a first listen to this new record, which is out just in time for Halloween, I would say, judging by the title.
That's right. It's called Trick or Treat. And it's built around Halloween.
And it features Patty Russo. What? What's that?
He said it features Patty Russo.
Well, now there again, it's one of the few times that I've seen either one of you speak.
It gets my goat a little bit. Well, you're the one who went on talking when I stopped.
Yeah. Well, if you got the record set, maybe we better sit back and listen to a little
okay.
bit of it.
Okay.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Unfortunately, McBeebe twins and your orchestra, the Bob and Ray automatic cannon was geared to go off at that particular moment, ending the record, of course, but it did sound good.
Well, I'm sorry that cannon went off during our new record, but as you say, it was just triggered to go then. What can we do about it? Well, I guess we'll run along. Thank you, Bob and Ray, and we listen to you all the time. Goodbye.
Come on, Clyde.
Wobbly Webster is a prohibitionist.
As he sits there at the organ. And right now, I think we should take time out to talk about the Pepsodent toothbrush and its 50 tufts. They really do a wonderful job, Bob and Ray, of getting your teeth the whitest, the cleanest, because they're efficient. Each of the 50 tufts in a Pepsodent brush is specially tapered. They work into cracks and crevices between teeth better than tufts in which all bristles, or ceta, as we say in the crossword puzzles, are set flush with each other.
I think we say that, don't we?
A Pepsodent toothbrush feels good when you use it. And that's probably what most people like best about a Pepsodent brush. And now back to George and Gracie.
Well, Daddy was a highly respected member of this community, and I'll thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head.
He was soft as a grape.
I've never seen such insolence.
Well, I know you didn't call me over here to talk about your old man, Miss Bessinger. Is there something I can do for you?
Yes, there is, snow removal expert Proctor. The drifts have gotten so high around this house since the storm that I'm just afraid I'll be cut off from the outside world, and I do wish you'd at least shovel a path down the front walk. You see, if I needed the doctor in a hurry, You'd never be able to get in this way.
I don't know what you're talking about, Miss Bessinger. There isn't any snow on the ground at all.
Well, of course there is. You can see it right out the window here. Snowbank must be 4 or 5 feet high.
Well, that isn't a snowbank, Miss Bessinger. That's the Ferguson's fence. They just whitewashed it.
Well, my lands, I do believe you're right, snow removal expert Proctor. You've certainly taken a tremendous weight off my mind. I almost feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dust.
Races slow down while these cars are being taken off the track in the interest of safety. No one has been hurt, we're very happy to say, although one car has been overturned, six cars knocked out on the north turn, several on the south turn, and the ranks rapidly depleted. As it stands right now, it's Tim Flock in first, Speedy Thompson in second, and Cutton Owens in third. Number 25, he's driving off under his own power outside the track. I doubt he'll come back again. Emmanuel Zervakis of Richmond, Virginia, in a 56 Ford. No one is hurt, we're very happy to say, and here comes B29.
And now, the weather.
Great sky, dark, dark, dark.
Now, the weather. Mostly fair and continued cool today and tonight, with the high temperature this afternoon, 55 to 60 near the ocean, and in the 60s well inland. It's 49 degrees at this moment, outside the Bob and Ray Midtown Manhattan Meteorological Museum. 49. The humidity. Oh, they shouldn't.
Sure wave.
The humidity is 49%. To the 46.
Now that's your fault.
Now, before we return to Bob and Ray, everybody has said their goodbyes in these final few minutes as we get down to the end. I would like to say a few things. I have jotted down, fellows. A little ode to B&R. And I would like you to hear it.
I'm doing it.
Thanks. Now, please listen. It comes sincerely, with a tear in the eye and a sad, heavy heart. It's time for me to bid bye-bye as Bob and Ray prepare to depart. So to you boys and your whole crew, to Mary backstage, Wally et al. Best of luck with all that's good in you. And remember, for me it's been a ball.
It's a pegging report! And the Bobby Boy!
Hey, Jeebus, that's awfully nice, Stan. It's you had a lot of poetic license there. Nothing seemed to rhyme or anything.
Well, now, you know, the cash box riddle, ignore the rhyme without reason. But I want to wish you all the luck.
Have to work a plug in there.
In the world, wherever you go, I know wherever you go, you'll bring cheer and light into the hearts of many. And as somebody said this morning, listening to Bob and Ray is like a way of life, and we'll all miss you a little bit. So have a wonderful time wherever you go, as you usually do when you work, and make lots of money and all that.
Well, thanks very much, Stan, and we deeply appreciate it. See you down the unemployment office.
We have... Want to have a little music or cigarette or something?
I don't think we need any music.
Let's have a cigarette.
We've talked for the last few minutes today, I think. Leona has dropped by to say so long to us. Our theme song lady. She brought us a lovely cake, too.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Which is very nice of Leona. So I guess that would just about wrap it up, then. Until we all meet again. This is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Bob, Bob, Bob! Ray, Ray, Ray! Ray for Bob and Ray! That's all I've met with Ray and Bob.
the joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. Dear pop, 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 and ray, 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 I hear the tender sigh. Alack, alas, how time doth pass, for now we say goodbye.
That is an outrageous song. Did they do that song at the end of every program?
Well, no. Leona Anderson was discovered by Bob and Ray. They used to play bizarre records by strange talents like Alcana Brill and Leona Anderson. Leona Anderson was apparently a wonderful older lady who did these funny songs. And on one of my rare records, or rare tapes, which I'll play in the second hour of all of this, she sings... a song, I Love Paris. She sings I Love Paris in her inimitable style. So she used to come around and hang out in the studio. You can hear her laughing in the background, some of these things. This old laugh. And she apparently did this special little song for Bob and Ray as a tribute to them. And they only played it at the end of their New York radio venue. Then they went off into some kind of networking. I'm going to do some research. I frankly haven't had the time to do all the research that I want to do. I'm going to do some more research in Bob and Ray. And we've also, of course, learned recently that Bob and Ray had writers, which in a radio like this, you didn't credit your writers. And well,
this is a good opportunity, if anybody out there has any information about Bob and Ray's writers, to drop us a line.
Yeah, Tom Koch is one of the most well-known ones, who apparently I can get in touch with through the Writers Guild of America West, and I intend to do so. But if anybody else knows anything about the history of Bob and Ray and their writers, or if there are any Bob and Ray writers out there, I would love to know if you wrote any of the material that you heard tonight. I'd love to know something about the history of it, and why, in a way, it's a secret that Bob and Ray had writers, you know?
Well, we're running out of time, but just briefly, they were on for 3 hours every day. Now, they weren't doing comedy for three solid hours.
No, they played records. They played popular records, and they played comedy records, you know, funny records, not comedy skits. And
would they play the hits of the day?
Or? Yes, they played the hits of the day. And so, and sometimes they were very bored. You know, there were shows when Mom and I recorded, we listened to it live, and then I go to school, and I come back at the end of the day and listen to the show that Mom had recorded. And sometimes they were, you know, they weren't on. They just did their job and read their commercials and all that. But it was the element of surprise and that wonderful element of immediacy that made Bob and Ray such lovable people to listen to.
Well, you'll have to tune in sometime in August. The date has... it has been set, actually, but I don't have it in front of me.
It's
like the second or the third Sunday night in August.
It's like a blind date.
From 9 until 10.
Or a deaf date, because we can't announce it yet.
And if you are one of those people with information about Bob and Ray, the address, in addition to if you have anything else you want me to know about, is Bob Claster, Claster, care of Funny Stuff, care of KCRW, care of 1900 Pico Boulevard, care of Santa Monica, California, 90405. I do not live here. Enclose a phone number so I can get a hold of you.
And, and if you have any special rare Bob and Ray material of your own that you'd like to share with us, I'm sure there's even more of a network than ever now that we've lost dear Ray.
And this Sunday night, coming up two nights from now, is the Christmas special, where I'll be playing all sorts of...
Actually, in the middle of the heat wave.
No, it's 4th of July, but I call it the Christmas special. We'll be doing 4th of July stuff, and so I hope you can join me for that. And
And watch for Bob Elliott and his son Chris on the Fox Network, because they're doing a show that's going to be on
the air. Just turn your TV to the Fox Network and leave it there, and eventually you'll see these people. See you Sunday night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.